It's a good day. It's good for us to be here together today, and we are thankful that you have joined us here at Jefferson Avenue. This year, we're in the midst of a series called The Way, and this morning, our lesson is entitled, The Way to a Mother's Heart. The Way to a Mother's Heart. I texted some moms this week and asked them, what do you think the way to a mother's heart is? What do you think that, the things that would be important to a mom? What does mom want for Mother's Day? And I heard a few different things and saw some things elsewhere, other than maybe, husbands, let's do the dishes this afternoon maybe and let mom take a nap and maybe a break every now and then and a little bit of peace and quiet. I saw one video where someone said, this is what people think mom wants on Mother's Day, great quality family time. And then she said, well, what we really want is to be left completely alone. So I'm not sure, moms, where you land on that one. Maybe somewhere in the middle, maybe a little bit of both. Who knows? But what's the way to a mother's heart? Another thing that was consistent through all the answers that I got from the different moms, among other things, was that they want their children to grow up and be faithful followers of Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think that would be true for all moms. If I would ask anybody who's here, anybody who's a believer in Jesus, anybody who's a follower of Christ, they want their children to grow up through the ups and downs and the twists and the turns of life. They want their children to grow up and be faithful followers of Christ. It reminded me of three different passages. That answer reminded me of three different passages that I want to briefly go through and talk to you about just a little bit. And then let's think about, for moms especially, in this role of helping their children to grow up and be faithful Christians. What's the role of a mom in that? And then how can we help moms in that? Even if we're not moms or don't have children or that sort of thing, or our children are grown up or whatever it is, how can we help people who are interested in helping people get to heaven, helping their children especially get to heaven? You probably thought of things like this. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Here is Elijah on Mount Carmel as he's about to face off with those 400 prophets of Baal. And he says this to the people of Israel. How long will you hesitate between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. This reminded me of this because it's a spiritual matter, certainly, but I don't know about your family, but sometimes in our family, there's options given, and then there's hesitation, or there's a lack of an answer, and it kind of comes down, especially around mealtime, it comes down to something like this. Hey, what do you want for dinner? And generally, after we pry their attention away from whatever screen they're looking at the moment, they generally just don't answer us, and then we say, well, here's what we got. And if you don't want that, then you can make your own thing. So there's this hesitation sometimes with kids when you give them options and they fail to make a decision. Well, here Elijah is telling the Israelites, hey, you need to make up your mind. Because at that time, there were some Israelites, some of God's people, who were following God a little bit, but they were also following other gods, false gods. And he's saying, hey, you need to make up your mind. If you're going to serve God, if God is God, follow him. But if you want to serve Baal, then follow him. But completely devote yourself to one of those things. And that's really what God calls of those who would be his followers. If we're going to be followers of God, we need to commit ourselves to that. Make that commitment. Also in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, the verse that was read to us earlier, you're familiar with this. If it's evil in your sight to serve Yahweh or to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now dwelling. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We love that beautiful passage. I think Sam even got a little emotional as he was reading that. Even as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Certainly, we want to be able to say that as parents, as people who have people that we care about. And certainly this morning, as we think about this, if you're not a parent or you don't have kids at home right now, most of the things we're going to talk about are just apply those things to people that you really care about, people that you're close to, people that you're concerned about, people that you want to help on their way to heaven. As for me and my friends, as for me and the people that are closest to me, we're going to serve the Lord. And the last passage that answer that the moms gave to me made me think about was 3 John verse 4, where John says, and certainly what a mother would love to be able to say these words, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children walk in the truth. To hear that my children walk after the Lord. We recognize, and we've done it before here. I don't know if it was on Mother's Day or some other day where we've had all the kids come up here and stand on the stage. And we had tons of them, 40, 50, 60 of them. And we asked this simple question. Which ones of these is it okay for them to grow up and not be faithful to the Lord? And what's the answer? None of them. It's not okay in our minds because we love these kids that are here. We love our kids, but we love each other's kids. We love this family that we have here at Jefferson Avenue and anybody and everybody who would join us. We would love them and care about them. And if we had the children come up here this morning and stand before us and if the question was asked, hey, the stats say 7 out of 10 of these are going to wander away at some point. Which 7 is it for you? None of us would be willing to say, well, that kid's okay. None of us are going to be willing to get rid of any of them. So this morning, as we think about how do we help our moms, how do we help our dads, how do we help each other raise these young people, and not only the young people, it's true for all of us. There's a responsibility that we have to each of us, whether we're related by blood or simply related by the blood of Jesus. We have this responsibility and this privilege to be involved in each other's lives and to help each other on our way towards heaven. So what is a mother's role? What does a mom do? It's probably pretty stereotypical, but I would say that certainly in our house, this scene happens a lot, where Lena is doing something, and it's not just at the house, it's really anywhere. And one of the kids will come up and say, Mom, 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 and it goes on forever, right? While Lena's in the middle of something, and it's usually while Lena's talking to one of you, probably. So excuse our children. We've taught them better than that, but they don't always do better than that. But Mom, 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 Mom. But at the house, the way it looks at home is, they'll be in one room and Lena will be in another room, or maybe they'll be in the same room and they'll yell out, Mom! And I'm standing right there and I'm like, hey, what can I do for you? How can I help you? Mom! Mom! I don't need you, I need Mom! So what role does a mom play? A very important role, right? An extremely important role. Even if you're dad of the year, mom plays an important role. What influence do you have on your children, moms? What influence do you have on the people around us? Certainly children are in their parents' circle of influence. Those people that are closest to them, that they have the opportunity to influence and to help guide and to help show these are the ways that we should live. These are the things that we should do. This is how we should follow Jesus. But the question is, we all have people in our lives that we have influence on. The question is, whether we're moms or dads or otherwise, what influence are we having on them? Are we having the influence of sharing Jesus with them? Are we having a positive spiritual influence on them? Because just because you have the opportunity to have an influence on someone doesn't mean it's always a positive influence. Are you sharing? Are you showing? Are you directing people? This is who Jesus is to me in my life. And this is how I would encourage you to follow Jesus, to think about Jesus, to study about Jesus. You see, moms, you see everybody, it's hard for us to plant in someone else's heart what is not in our own heart. It's hard for us to water and to help grow in someone else's life what's not in our life. We're not quite there yet in our family, but I know the days are coming when my children will no longer respect me just because I hold the title of dad. They will either respect me or fail to respect me because of the way that I show who I am, because of the person that Andy really is, not because of the title of dad. And that's true for all of us. And some of us have experienced that in positive ways, and some of us have experienced that in negative ways. Little kids, they love and they will run up and hug you, and no matter what kind of person you are, if you're mom or dad, they just love and care about you because that's innate within how God creates us. I would say most of the time, if not all the time, that's true. But there comes a point in life where children don't respect you anymore just because you hold the title of mom or dad. But they love and they respect you and they care about what you think because of the person that you've proven to be to them. What kind of influence are you having on the people around you? Whether you're a mom or you're a dad or you're just a friend or a family member or a coworker, Scripture has told us in Titus chapter 2 in that area, this pattern of the older people, the more experienced people teaching the younger people. Here are how things should go. Older women to teach younger women, older men to teach younger men. But really just this experience that the folks of you, all of us who have more experience than other people, we have the responsibility and the privilege to teach them and to show them the way that they ought to live their life. What kind of influence are you having on the people around you? What kind of influence are you sharing with folks around you? Now, let me also share this encouraging note, perhaps, because I don't know about you, but in my life, with the people that I have the opportunity to have influence on, I don't always do good things. I don't always make right decisions, or maybe even I do make good decisions and I do show right ways, but the people that I'm trying to lead or to direct in a certain way, maybe they don't choose the path that I would choose for them. And certainly moms know that kind of heartache. Moms have experienced that kind of heartache when they've tried to raise their children up in a good and right way, and sometimes those children fall away. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, and there on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life?" Who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Especially for moms today, but for all of us, if this is true for you, let me remind you that you can only control yourself. Let me remind you, you can only control yourself. You can have positive influence on people around you. Sometimes you might have negative influence on people around you, but you can only control yourself. I heard this idea some time ago. I don't even remember when, but will I trust God with my children? Will I trust God that God is working in their life, that despite my imperfections, moms, despite your imperfections and your shortcomings, that God loves your children more than you do, that God cares about your children more than you do, that God wants your children to go to heaven even more than you do? Will you trust in God as He guides the lives of your children, and will you play a role in His leading? But how can we help moms? How can we help folks that are interested in and concerned about their children? How can we help people in our congregation, or help people in our community that have children, or maybe just people that are lost? How can we help them? But especially tonight, how can we help children? Well, there's probably some people in your life that you're concerned about, that you want to have an influence on, but right now you just don't have an influence on. They'd be, maybe if we think about circles again, they'd be in your circle of concern. You care about them, you want good things for them, but in reality, right now, if you say something to them that's, you know, meant to try to change their life or direct them in a different way, they don't know you well enough and you don't know them well enough. There's a lot of kids like that here in our congregation, right? You see them running up and down the aisle every Sunday or something like that, and you want that kid to go to heaven, but you may not even know their name. So how do you help that family? How do you help that mom? How do you help that dad? How do you help that kid? Well, you've got to grow. You've got to know those people. You've got to come to know their names and know what's going on with them and to care about them. And that takes more than just a Sunday morning. I don't care if you've been coming here Sunday morning for 50 years. If we really want to have a really great positive influence on one another, we've got to get involved in each other's lives. And it's going to be hard because there's 400 of us here. So it's going to be hard for us to all get in each other's lives. But maybe just pick out a few people. Pick out some people that are sitting around you. Maybe pick out some people that are sitting on other sides of the auditorium and say, hey, I want to invest in that person spiritually. I want to help that person get to heaven. I want to spend time with them. I want to be with them. So grow your circle of influence so that you can have a positive influence on the people that are around you. I think about it when we think about how do we help people. Well, certainly sometimes there are people who need some guidance. Parents definitely need guidance. We've got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and we don't know what we're doing. So pray for us. So we need some guidance, right? All of us need that type of guidance, and certainly our children need that type of guidance. It was Sunday, December 25th, 2016. All right, so that's Christmas Day, 2016, and we're living in South Carolina at the time, and Lena's pregnant with Benjamin. Benjamin will be born in March of that next year, and Riley, I may have shared this with you before, but Riley's there, and Lena's very pregnant, and Riley gets away from Lena and runs to the back of the auditorium. Oh, by the way, I'm preaching at the time, and in the moment preaching, and she runs across the back of the auditorium and runs down the aisle in her Christmas dress with her candy cane sticking out of her mouth, and nobody grabs her. She makes it all the way up to the front, and I have to step down from the stage and trying to muffle it a little bit so people didn't quite grasp the anger that was in my voice. I said, "Go to your mom now," and thankfully she did. She was not smiling anymore, but she went back to her mom. That reminds me of Channing. Just a few weeks ago, right? You guys remember that? For whatever reason, the Richards were sitting over here, and we're in kind of our customary spot over here, and Channing, I think, was looking for suckers. I'm not sure exactly what was going on. He was kind of to go back to his familiar spot over here where they normally sit, and he got up and started walking down the aisle, and I was sitting right there, and I saw him going, and I should have done something, but I was like, well, somebody will get him. Ryan will get him. Somebody will get him, but nobody got him, and he goes up here, and I think we're singing at the time, and walks all the way across, and guess who was there to get him? A mom. A mom was there to guide the child to where the child needed to be. And so Sarah Burns and Channing went back this way, and of course it was funny to see Ryan, you know, chasing him around the whole building, and they're going opposite directions. That's kind of like a dad does sometimes, right? It takes a mom sometimes to guide a child where they need to go. Is that not true spiritually? Is that not true in life? Don't our kids need people that will step out of their seat and grab them by the hand and show them the way to go? We need each other. We desperately, all of us need each other. I need that. I need you to do that for me. My kids need you to do that for them. We need to do these types of things for each other because we care about each other, because there is this responsibility and this opportunity that we have for one another. What are some other things that you can do to really help these families, to help these moms? When's the last time you prayed for other people in our congregation by name? And maybe not because they're sick, maybe not because they're in the hospital, but just because life's hard sometimes. Just because all of us have daily battles, whether they're physical battles or emotional battles or spiritual battles. When's the last time that maybe even someone you don't even know that well, and or you haven't talked to in a long time, and you haven't spent a whole lot of time with them, but they came to your mind, so you stopped right then and right there and you prayed for them, and maybe even you sent them a text or gave them a call and said, hey, you're on my mind today and I prayed for you. I hope things are going all right. Man, we need that kind of thing. We need that kind of encouragement. We need that boost every now and then to bring into our lives, to come into our lives. It'd be a beautiful thing when we think about moms. It'd be a beautiful thing for us to stop and regularly pray for the children of our congregation by name. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Moms, wouldn't you be encouraged if you knew that there were godly people praying for your children to be followers of Jesus regularly? What about other ways that we can support them? Certainly, sometimes moms need emotional support. They just need a break. They just need some sort of pick-me-up or something like that, and those things are important. What about hands-on things? What about just doing life together? Again, oftentimes, maybe we're out in public, and maybe not so much in public with strangers, but when we're in a setting like this with a church family, and a child is just crying and bawling and is just in the middle of the throes and of an emotional tantrum, you know, there's a few different options, usually just two options of things that we do. One, we feel bad for the mom, and we say, I'm glad that's not my kid, right? Number two, we say, why don't that kid just be quiet? They're so loud. That's not very helpful. Or three, maybe this would be something different. Walk up to the mom or the dad who's dealing with that child and say, hey, can I help? Especially if it's a young baby, and if you know the family very well, maybe you could help whatever the mom else is trying to do, the other five things she's trying to carry or shuffle or juggle at the same time with the baby, and either take the baby or grab some of the other things they're trying to do. What a relief. What a just a momentary, in the very moment of trial and distress and difficulty, that you could just be a fresh breath of air into that difficult time. So you could do hands-on, really just practical things like that. Let me close with this idea. I thought about this as I was wrapping up my sermon prep this week. You know, a lot of times when we think about children, and especially children who may not be as faithful as we want them to be, the story that we go to is the prodigal son, right? The story of that son who grew up and said, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance. Will you give it to me now? And in essence, in their lifestyle and in their culture, he's saying, hey, you'd be more valuable to me if you were dead. So can you just go ahead and give me that money so I can spend it how I want to? For whatever reason, the dad decides to do that, and he goes off, and he spends it poorly, and he finally comes to his senses as when he's just at rock bottom. He says, hey, I got to go back to my dad. I got to go back to my dad. I've never thought about it before, and I guess it's just because I'm doing a sermon on Mother's Day, I thought about this. Where's the prodigal's mom? What's she doing? Why is she not in the story? And I don't have the answer. I don't know. But I can make some assumptions because I know moms. If she's alive, she's concerned about her son. If she's alive, she's praying for her son all the time. If she's alive, while dad might have been the first one to see her, mom was right behind. And maybe when dad went to go off and prepare the party, mom came and hugged the neck and cried with the son, so thankful that he came back. How can we help moms? Hey, don't give up hoping for people who have fallen away. Because you know those moms and those dads and those loved ones of the folks who have fallen away, you know they're still hoping. They still have that hope that one day, whoever it is, spouse or child or parent or loved one or friend or family member, they'll come to their senses and they'll come back to God. And we're thankful for the fact that we serve a God who loves us enough to always be ready, willing, and able to encourage us to come back. And so really this morning, as we think about the love of moms, and I love the prayer that was led earlier and the thoughts that were led earlier when we think about how God's love is displayed, you know, the softer, the gentler side of God's love is really displayed through the actions and the style of love that a mother shows. God loves us, and he loves us strictly, and he loves us, and he's got rules and regulations, kind of like maybe a dad, and he's going to be just, and he's going to judge us, and all those things, but He's also that mom that's ready and willing to welcome us back and to help us and to clean us up and to get us back up and on our feet again and to show us the way. So this morning, that's really the invitation for you. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with anybody, your mom, your dad. And those are important things. But how's your relationship with God? The creator of all things. And the one who sent his son to die for you, so that you could live eternally with him. This morning, brothers and sisters, how's your relationship with our Father in heaven? Have you wandered away from him, and do you need to come back? If you're not a Christian yet this morning, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God? Do you want to be his follower? Will you submit to him? And will you submit to baptism, where all your sins are washed away, and you raise up, and you're perfectly clean and right in God's eyes? The invitation is, it's not an invitation of a mom. We love moms, but we don't worship moms here. We worship God. The God who loved us enough to give us moms and dads and to help us to know how important they are in our lives. If you need to make a response to God's calling of you to follow him throughout the rest of your days, and we give you this opportunity, and we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.